sport similar to the one that Raw just gave you.
Listen. Mr. Ellis is becoming mischievous. I'm Dr. McLean.
Let me take another call, Ron.
All right.
Good. Down to brass tacks.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, morning.
And good morning, Mr. McLean.
You in very early.
How are you doing?
There's another call of passionate support.
I'm going somewhere where I could get good news.
Like where?
I will tell you another time. But I have two little issues for you. I hope, Mr. McLean, excuse me, because the two questions really have nothing to do with this property sales that's going on.
Okay.
But before I ask the two questions, I want to ask you a question, Mr. Ellis. Between 98 and 2007, you and the news media used to function the way that y'all are functioning now?
I thought so. If you ask people like Winnie, they will tell you so. If you ask the people who used to support the Barbados Labour Party and people who were in the leadership of the Labour Party, you would hear them make the same type of complaint that you're making now.
Okay, wait, Mr. Ellis. Can I say something before I get to my 2 points now? I don't want you stretch every little thing like ask and then be on for half an hour and people say...
Man, you can't tell me what to do in that regard. You come and provoke me and then expect what?
You'll be on with Mr. Ellis for half an hour. Mr. Ellis, if I ask a little thing, don't prolong that little question so long and take up all the time.
What kind of comment?
What I meant was this, Mr. Ellis. I ain't talking about criticizing a candidate. I talk about digging into sales of properties and the overruns and things. Y'all was digging into those things also?
Well, as far as I recall, those were some of the issues that we would have had because we raised the questions about what the government was doing and how it was doing it.
So you were not in Barbados at the time. Yeah, but I buy the nation every day.
But you didn't listen to the call-in programs.
Okay, but let me move on now, because you'll keep me back in that area now for half an hour.
You should start asking so many questions and get straight to the main one.
Okay, let me say this, Mr. Ellis. Yesterday on your program, two things annoyed me. The first one was dealing with health. You receive any information in the last, say, 48 hours or so dealing with the Ministry of Health and the type of conversation you had on your station yesterday and the day before?
You mean about the fact that a number of people went to have their prescriptions filled and found that they were being asked to pay more?
Yeah, do you get any information from the Ministry of Health concerning that?
I don't remember seeing any.
But that's why I'm here, and although I have to go, I had to call in. Now, I heard on your station yesterday how they're charging people for this, and people with glaucoma, main eye drop that you use, which is Corsol, they're making people pay for it, and et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I stared at you, you mean the government? How the government could do that? And I listened. But this morning, on a small station again, as I tell you all the time, I heard someone from the Ministry of Health, and that person say, nothing has changed. How can people pay
it
more?
It isn't correct to say that nothing has changed. What has changed from what I gather? Listen to me, what I gather. My information is that the formulary has put renewed emphasis on generics, which means that the brand name drugs are the ones that you have to pay for. What appears to have happened in this instance is that normally the doctors would get a timeline, a lag, so that they, in writing their prescriptions, would be aware of what are the generics on the formulary. But instead, what appears to have happened is that they have not had that time lag, and as a consequence, they have written prescriptions that are calling for brand name drugs that are no longer on the formulary. And as a consequence, people have to pay for the brand name drugs when they take the prescriptions. That is what I understand.
Did you hear how I started the issue? I asked you if you received any information from the Ministry of Health.
No.
Because what I heard from the Ministry of Health this morning, nothing should be enforced till September. Don't mind what. In other words, everything that's going on right now should not be happening.
Well, it's happening.
But don't blame the ministry.
And if it's happening, who's to blame? Blame the doctors?
You, Mr. Ellis, the thing that I don't understand.
Blame the doctors? But there obviously is a communication issue there.
When I debate you sometimes, you, the type of person that I know, and I know you for years, you just shift away from the main point. I ask you if you receive any information.
I told you I haven't received it.
Okay, so what I'm saying, everything that happening, like how Mr. McLean now come and explain these things to you, you could be receiving bad information, and something could be going on that shouldn't be going on. Let me move on.
So who would you blame? Based on the conversations that we have had with people who have been touched directly over the last 2 days, reporting to us what has happened in their lives, who would you blame? Them?
I ain't know who to blame, so I ain't say who's to be blamed. Yeah. But I know the Ministry of Health ain't to be blamed.
All right, well, there you go.
Because I hear that directly from the Ministry of Health.
Go on. There you go.
A channel on a station, they can't call the number. My second one, they have a gentleman who just calls this way, the station, almost every day. And for the last 3 or 4 times he called, he have a problem with the voters list. And he's giving Barbados the impression there's about 60,000 people on there that shouldn't be there. And he went on with that, and then he slipped out of giving the public the impression that something's going on wrong, and then do so, bam, straight in harbor, and they're bringing a lot of ammunition from the Chinese. You don't have your delay system working no more, Miss Ellis.
The last time that issue was raised with me, I thought I dealt with it.
Which issue?
This whole question of voters list and that sort of thing.
No, I'm talking about voters list. When a man is given the impression that a government is trying to hold on to power at any means, because that's the impression they get from him, and then he moves it from holding on to pressure and slides right into ESCF trap and nothing. Ammunition from the Chinese. Why that they on the areas, Miss Ellis?
Well, I don't remember. I didn't hear it, so I can't.
I ain't saying Mark, nobody else.
Hold on a minute. No. I didn't hear it, so I cannot comment on how.
But the moderator.
Man, a lot depends upon the juxtaposing of the comments, the context. But that's your interpretation, so I can't comment on it right now.
Listen to this. He said it and then gave a selfish joke. Because when he say he laughed, because the moderators tell him, but why you say that and try to pull it back, but they're already out. And he laughed and they say he's sorry. You don't do these things in a country like Barbados. Look, in all of my days, I know I'm a Democrat, and you can say biased. But
I will call you a Democrat. I would say that you are a supporter of the Democratic Labour Party. But being a Democratic Labour Party supporter doesn't make you a Democrat.
Okay, I ain't going there. Let me explain this to you, Ms. Ellis.
There's a lot more that is required.
Of all of my days in this country, and out, and still in contact with this country, because you might not know, in Queens and Brooklyn, the Democrats, and we very close.
I will know. I know just how close you are. When the Prime Minister goes to New York, he speaks in New York the way he speaks at the Democratic Labour Party meetings in Barbados. So he has to feel at home.
Okay, but let me tell you this. In this country that you and I raise up, and you will know, talking about corruption and this vote, this and this, this Democratic Labour Party that I am of a member of, if some of the things that happen where the Barbados Labour Party is concerned, if the DFP ever think about doing these things...
Oh, give me a break. You go, guys, listen, stop that kind of talk, because... Listen, there are things that... There are people who look at what's happening in Barbados today, and they say if the Barbados Labour Party had done some of those things, or any of them, the Dems would have been all over them.
Okay, let me explain.
That's the nature of politics.
Let me say a little thing, because you know you're going out, and let me hang up. I can give you 5 little things that the Barbados Labour Party do. 5 things that the DLP will never get involved in.
What's that?
One, in 1981, as you can remember, I will say that, so let's all lose because of it. But I know that let's all lose endless votes because of it. When so many people in St. Michael's West Central could not vote because the name was scattered left, right, and center. That happened on the BLP. In 1980,
I talk about corruption and wrongdoing. No, listen, stop. I ain't getting caught in a corruption.
So you won't give me a question?
No.
Not in wrongdoing.
I am not going to go back down there because I don't have the specifics. And since I don't have the specifics, I think it is a little bit difficult to go that far back to deal with that. Let me also point out.
I was coming forward.
I'm not going to buy into your assessment that things that people consider to be wrong in Barbados are peculiar to one party or the other. You know, I stand on the point that says that we in Barbados have become frustrated and tired of political parties in opposition saying one thing, but when they get into government, they actually exploit the very areas that they were criticizing their opponents for. The BLP and the DLP have done that over the years. And part of the frustration that many people have today resides in that behavior. So I am not here to get involved in they did this and the next side didn't and that sort of thing. Because there are many things that over time, both parties have been guilty of doing.
I'm going to get back with that to you on my call. You don't let that get there at all because I got points to prove who is more corrupt.
Listen, I ain't getting involved in a corruption talk. I am not with you on that issue of corruption in that way. All right? I am not equipped to go back to 1986, 1981, the gerrymandering and all of them things. So, right now, let's talk about today, okay? Leroy McLean, you still there? Are you still there, Leroy? Hello?
There's me, you have me, David.
Well, I'm just checking to see if Mr. McLean is there. Okay, he seems to be gone, but we may have to call him back. Yes, tall boy, what can we do for
David,
you today?
David, morning to you. I'm sorry that Mr. McLean gone, because I had some questions to pose to him. I want some answers as well.
Yes, I think we should try to get him back on the line.
But David, your last caller, I really don't believe that he living in a real, real world. How could he come normally to compare what happened on a Barbados Labour Party with what happened in this present state, this country with this Democrat Labour Party and a Prime Minister? I mean, we right now on this country on the verge of collapse. I mean, this is a situation where our children, our grandchildren, are going to pay. I mean, a serious price in years to come for what happened in this country right now. And he want to come and compare goodness with what the Democrat Labour Party did. I mean, he's out of place, man. I really didn't call to talk about that.
But I don't know how out of place he is. I mean, I am not prepared to go back in history on that particular line, given the fact that he's talking about corruption and stuff. That has potential for taking us down a dangerous path. That doesn't mean that things that are well known historically and well established would not be entertained. But not in the way that he is setting out to do that, because he is making claims that I am totally unaware of. So if he's bringing new information to the table, I'm running the risk of having charge and countercharge and smearing people in a way that, could be dangerous. I'm not going to do that.
I don't think Barbados can ever get as bad as we that we are at the present stage, David. I don't think so. I mean, this is more than ridiculous at the stage that we are.
But full well that is a question of perception, and it is based to a large extent on your life experience and the kind of the kind of bias that you may be carrying as well, you know?
Well, to be honest with you, David, as I said, I didn't really want to speak on this, but you know, forced me to say something.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Now, David, you know, I normally, this is what I really want to speak to you about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm so scared now. I normally drive my vehicle, but I decide, well, that rather than driving on, I can walk when I have short distances to go. Like, suppose I go to Bridgetown, well, I know that I wouldn't be bringing parcels or anything. I would catch a minivan and go down. But, you know, since over the last couple of months, I had a retract. And what I do now, I kept driving my vehicle all the time. Because this government seems so cash-strapped that they're selling every possible thing that they put in the hand. And I decided, well, I ain't taking no chances. Because somebody may snatch me up and sell me to the Minister of Finance. So I done walking. I gone back to my car. They go and run behind my car to catch me if they want to sell me.
Good, that's one way to convert you into being a Dem.
Yeah, maybe so. But let me go to my point. Well, the foolishness that Rawl was just speaking when he said that that Leroy McLean bring clarity to the problems. Sorry to what happened there with the sugar factories, David. Up to this present moment, I still have my suspicion concerning the sales of those sugar factory yards, David. Because when you look at Porter's, for instance, I see a price tag for $8 million for Porter's factory yard. And we all know, if you do know the area and you know Porter's, David, you know that is land abut and bound in a Royal Westmoreland's property. And when you had to look at that, that's prime real estate land, David, and what you would like to know, that's what they really want to know from Mr. McLean. I would like to know the acreage, because he says just the factory yard and just some portion of the land that adjoins the factory yard. But you had really want to know from him what the acreage that he's speaking about.
I'm trying to get him back online. Perhaps what he should do is just send me the contact details again.
Right, because they're very, like, land, that sort of land.
These are important questions that you can determine whether he's going to answer them or not.
Right, you see, the prime real estate land down there, the prime real estate land there, and you know that sort of land down there, that sort of land, would fetch about close to $300,000 for a lot down inside that area there. So that's why you had wanted to know from him what sort of acreage that is joining the factory yard that the persons would be buying. Because I know it ain't easy, and $8 million sounds to me like a give a real price. And to be quite honest with you, David.
Well, you remember, he indicated, when you look at the newspaper says that's what they understand.
Mm-hmm.
They're not quoting the minister saying that.
Right, but I mean, $8 million, sorry, sound like a give a real price. I mean, for the land that I know down inside Porter's, especially due to the fact that I'm back and bound Royal Westmoreland lands. And I will end by saying this. My suspicion will still remain, David, until I hear who is the person or persons who will be buying this land. Because when I think about it, two persons come into my mind all the time. And I suspect one out of those persons will be the person who buys
this land. Well, I think that somebody else said, put it this way, that they have their suspicions and concerns. Because this is the same administration that has sold the Blue Horizons.
Correct.
And the same administration that sold the Four Seasons. Is it Four Seasons?
There's another property, I don't remember. Hotel after the one you mentioned first. That last year, a person bought all those properties.
Blue Horizons was one. So it's against that backdrop that, you know, all that the government is doing, it really has to spell out to people as clearly as possible and as early as possible what it is doing, why it is doing it. Otherwise, you are going to create a climate where people will have their concerns and their doubt.
And
we're dealing with human behavior at the end of the day.
You know, it's all well and good for Mr. McLean to come and say you've got to go to the board and then to the minister and then to the cabinet. Women are gonna kill me. They don't make the same. It still make the same thing to me. Still the same thing. So that's why I say my suspicion will continue to remain until I know who the person who is buying this land. I thank you, David.
Okay, I think we're gonna try to get Mr. McLean right now. Hello. Down to brass tacks. Let's go to another call in the meantime. Down to brass tacks. Hello? You're on the air.
Fortune.
Yes, Fortune 41790. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello. Yeah, right. I trust that this day will continue to be beautiful for you on the weekend as well. All right?
Yes.
Right.
Now, let me make this, share this information here. I'm told that from the article on Thursday, the BAMC placed advertisements in the press inviting expressions of interest in a number of properties. One ad carried in the Weekend Nation of December 11, 2015, advertised the Porter's Factory in St. James. The ad stated, "A defunct factory comprising approximately 391,906.48 square feet, that's approximately 9 acres, on the eastern side of Highway 1, just north of the Whole Town Commercial Center. Situated on the land are the following: a two-story wall structure with an external floor area of 1,122 square feet, B, one single floor wall structure with an area of 1,464 square feet. The property lends itself to residential commercial development as it is bordered on the north by a paved public road and on the east by Westmoreland Development." And this was said to be on the center pages. Against that backdrop, therefore, that's why I have argued that this ad by itself could not constitute proper communication to the public of Barbados about what was being done and why it was being done. And I hold to that position. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks. Leroy McLean, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here, myself.
You have raised with us this whole question of the Clico Estates, though. And you say that this is something that you believe the journalists need to look at. Expand on this. Why?
No, I just believe that, these things are in the hands of the judicial manager, right? And but given the amount of investment that the government of Barbados has made in the
Something has gone wrong here with the line. Hello? We have a problem there with that line. Let's take another call. Let's see if we can get back to you. Hello?
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good morning.
Could you please tell me, while there is no parliament at the moment, sorry about my voice at the moment, I'm catching a cold, can the government still do business as normal without going to parliament?
Yeah, because cabinet is still meeting and it's ministers are still being paid as ministers of the crown.
So they can
until whenever elections are held and a new government is chosen.
Oh, so they can still sell like property without anything. So and without any input from the
ultimately it would still have to go to parliament.
Well, I mean, what's going on? It's not, you know, people are hearing so much different things and they're not coming out and saying.
I think this is part of the problem with this period because it's, you know, we've run so long, we run so late, and it opens up a whole new situation that Barbadians are unaccustomed to. And in the politics of it all, you're going to have to weigh the chance that you take of doing it this way against the kind of unease that some people may have with it.
Well, Well, as I say, I wouldn't even but have said to the Prime Minister to call election because the gentleman will not call election until he's ready. When he at the last minute he's going to call, and I know we're only going to get 2 weeks for this election. But as I say, Rawl is only taking the mickey. Rawl know that the government have done wrong. And, you know, as a D, he's not going to say anything else. But I know it's a shame because people must tackle him outside about what's going on. And it is wrong. It put every other country, even my country, was looking at Barbados as, you know, as a light. Oh, God, hold on a minute, please. As a light, you know, to shine. But now, you know, people are laughing because they're wondering what the heck this, you know, the Prime Minister holding on to. Why? You know, people always.
Well, he said it clearly. He said that that's how history is made.
Well, his history is going to be a good one for him anyway. Anyway, all I can say that Barbados is a laughing stock right now. Yes, the people are educated more than the rest of the people. That's what they say. But if education is this what education is all about, I don't want to know it.
Okay.
Because, okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I'm told that. Glenn Clark is on the line, but a number of calls seem to have dropped out, and I don't understand what's going on here right now. I mean, we've been trying to make another call ever since, and it's been, you know, we've been having some difficulty there. Yes, Mr. Clark?
How are you?
I'm well, and you?
Good. I've been trying to get in for a long time, but it's difficult to get through to your station.
Sorry, is this Glenn Clark?
Yes, the member of parliament.
Okay, fine.
Listen, I must say, I appreciated what Dr. McLean tried to explain to the public just now. There's always expression of interest in quoted comments because you can send out something to the press and people don't see it. I have always held the view that when you vest land into entities like BTII, National Housing, BAMC, and all these statutory cooperation. It is one of the ways of fast-tracking a program, but it's not always the best way because sometimes you don't have any oversight. For example, when the land is vested into BAMC, it goes to the board. The board advertises this, and then they decide if the land is available for the best buyer, the person with the highest bid or whatever. It's decided by then, it goes back to cabinet, and there's it dies.
How else should it be done?
Well, Crown lands must be sold. It has to go through parliament, Crown lands. And there's a difference between the Crown land and the land that is vested into statutory corporation.
So you're saying that essentially this land, this deal, wouldn't necessarily have to go to parliament?
It doesn't have to go back. It may come back to parliament as, you know, when the reports come up.
As a fait accompli.
Right. You see that land has been sold to XY. But questions and answers have not been answered. I've been in Parliament for the last 23 years. And sometimes lands are divested into national corporation. For example, only in the last session, a land at St. Peter was divested into National Housing Corporation, land on the beach, to be sold. And that's one of the quickest ways to get rid of it. But you do not have the same fiber oversight as you have if it is Crown land. And there's a difference between the Crown lands and the land vested into these entities.
But you know the response that you're going to get to that.
Yeah.
And it was so under the Labour Party in the past.
Of course. But I have always said,
the Labour Party has done nothing about
always
that.
Always said.
The Democratic Labour Party is only exploiting it in the same way that the BLP did before.
Exactly. But you have to have a situation where the public needs to know. And I think the public at this stage needs to know more about the sale of Crown lands and lands vested.
But given the structure, they can exploit that particular situation and say very little. And give the impression that once you put out an ad in the newspaper, you've already communicated with the public, and that's it. That's
right.
Only inviting the expressions of interest. People, when it was put out there, from what I saw, they would have very little knowledge as to exactly what that was all about. But
right. But
beyond that, this is a question for you as an opposition politician. And since you have had this view, you seem unable to convince anybody else, and especially the Barbados Labour Party, that they should change. So it seems to me as though we can expect that in the next BLP administration, you will be like the boy standing on the burning deck saying the same thing but getting nowhere?
Well, the party has made the point that there must be changes in terms of how we do business in the future. Because I spoke on this, if you followed some of my speeches in Parliament.
Hello.
Hello.
Leroy McLean is in.
Yeah, I'm still here, yeah.
But I don't believe that the other caller is there now.
Okay, but, you know, I think you answered Mr. Clark in the manner in which I would have answered, and except that it would say that instead of saying that that the system is being exploited, I would always say that we're using the measures that are in place.
No, but come on.
Because when you say exploited,
come
it
on.
Gives them.
Well, you know, that's semantics. At the end of the day, what we are agreeing on here is that by divesting the lands in the BAMC, you don't necessarily have to go to Parliament to have any questions really answered about this in a serious way. So you're going to be able to just get your way and fast track this whole situation. And to some people, wrong.
No, Mr. Ellis, look, all I can tell you is, look, the BAMC has involvement up to the point of recommending that this offer be accepted or rejected. Okay? After that, the BAMC has no role in the process. Okay? And at the level of...
But would you concede that it is an area that could create some level of discomfort depending on what the transaction is?
Yes, I agree, because I always say, Mr. Ellis, when you frame legislation, in my view, you do not do it based on who is the person with the power at that point in time. You have to frame it with a worst-case scenario.
Precisely.
In mind. Okay? So therefore, I have no difficulty in agreeing with you that perhaps there's need for some changes in that regard. But all I'm saying is that at this point in time, the process is being followed.
We understand that. You're following a process that it seems as though we all agree is one that can be perceived to have a flaw. And Mr. Clark was just about to tell us what the Barbados Labour Party is committed to in this regard. And I sincerely hope that he can call us back, because if you're having a problem getting through to us, Mr. Clark...
I can't tell you what is the Democratic Labour Party's policy in that regard, since I'm not involved in policy making.
The truth of the matter is that we've had people associated with policy making coming to us recently, and even they haven't been able to tell us anything, or have been reluctant to tell us what exactly is planned. I assume that the Democratic Labour Party is working on its approach to sharing its information, but clearly we would want to hear whether this too is among the matters under consideration. Mr. Clark, if you are having a problem getting through to us, please call me at 230-1023. Let's see if we could sort this matter out as quickly as possible. 230-1023. Yes, because I'd like to have the two of you online together.
But
yes.
You remember at the beginning of our discussion, I asked you what prompted you to raise the issue, right? No. Hello, you there? Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. Tallboy's question basically tells me why this matter has become an issue.
What's that?
But somebody is trying to make this into a cheap political football because it is about my suspicions. I ain't dealing with my suspicions. You can suspect anything you like. What I'm concerned with is what is happening and what is the true position. So he's coming, I suspect that this and the other.
But Mr. McLean, I will say to you quite honestly, because I'm not privy to that kind of manipulation. When I raised the questions on Wednesday, it had nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the fact that these are state-owned lands.
Uh-huh.
And as I said before, people are very suspicious of a lot of stuff that is going on around Barbados right now.
But
and therefore, in that environment, I felt that the government needed to come out and answer these questions as quickly as possible, because it is not about the BLP and the DLP. Ultimately, it is about Barbados.
Right.
Yes, no, we've gone back to Mr. Glenn Clark.
But I'm here.
Yeah, you were telling me, because we're having difficulty conferencing these calls today.
Yes.
So we're not gonna pursue that any longer. But what I would ask you to do is to tell me exactly what it is that the Labour Party is planning to do in this regard.
Well, we have always held a view, and we have agreed that there need to be tremendous changes in how we do business in Parliament. There must be questions and answers. There must be a system in which you have greater accountability, especially when you're divesting government property. You rightly pointed out just now that private treaties sometimes don't ever see the light of day after they left Parliament. And it is quite feasible for a minister through the board to sell the property, and the public do not know what is really happening. And I think at this juncture, the public has a right to know what is happening. And if you want to have greater participation, there's no sense saying, well, it is election time and people should not know what is happening. People must know at any time if you're selling and when you're selling and who you're selling to. Because you can very well sell these lands to people living in the Far East, Middle East, anywhere. Not necessarily Barbados or Caribbean.
So how is the Labour Party proposing to make a change in this regard when it comes to what is being advanced in its manifesto for the upcoming elections? Can you tell us that?
I'm not privy to all the things that are happening in the manifesto, but I know for sure that we have agreed that there must be changes in the way we do business at Parliament. Parliament today is not what it used to be. It is not what the people want, and I think there must be changes in the way how we go about not only selling land or buying land, but doing the business. There must be greater accountability in whatever we do. I do not believe that when you divest property in any entity that you have a right to sell. The people need to know. So you need to not only advertise in the newspaper or on the radio, but you need to have town hall meetings where these properties are being sold. For example, the property in St. Peter is vested in National Housing, but the people around the St. Peter area, they do not know who are going to be their neighbors, who will buy the property. So you need that expression. And he held the view that was long expressed by Sir Harold Bernard St. John, that a greater expression of interest need to be done within the Act. The Acquisition Act need to be amended to give people the right to know. You need to have those meetings around in the various communities. People need to know at this juncture.
Well, I don't think that most Barbadians are going to have a difficulty with the idea. The problem we face is that many of these things, once said in this kind of climate, seldom ever see the light of day after the government changes. And
well, we are committed to making substantial changes, because Parliament is now only a rubber stamp of the executive. The executive decides in cabinet, and Parliament rubber stamps. And sometimes not even Parliament, because as you know, the executive is made up of the cabinet, which is about 12, 15 members, 16. So that invariably the cabinet, the executive is really Parliament. So you don't make a decision already. So you feel complete. And we have to have a greater accountability at the parliamentary level. Parliament was established to speak on behalf of the people. I am not sure that that is what is happening today. Parliament does not speak on behalf of the people it represents. So there must be fundamental changes in what is happening.
Well,
you know, for example, I thought that you were going to ask Dr. McLean about the sugar industry. When is the sugar crop going to be started? Can you imagine that this is the month of April and you have not started the sugar harvest at this point in time. It is ridiculous, and the people out there want to know what is happening. There are people who are employed in the sugar industry, can't find jobs because the harvest has not started. And you know, for example, you're a countryman, and you know that by the Easter, the crop is halfway, usually we halfway. So there the crop has not been started, and there's no inclination if it's going to get started this week, next week. People don't know, and that's the point I was making, David, that people in this country, we do not know. You don't have a clue what is happening. There's too much secrecy. What is this? What do you mean, even to start a crop, you can't say, well, the crop will start in the month of April, month of May. What is happening? You don't know.
As I said before, you know that the bigger question is the future of the crop, the future of sugar in Barbados, the future of rum. I mean, because if you continue in this vein, we are on the verge of having people invoke rules of origin against us. Because we are importing molasses to make rum. So all of that is before us right now.
More to the point, you have a situation now in the countryside where there's tremendous courage within the canes that can't be caught. People are messed up. I want to thank Barbados for not burning them. Because I passed through St. George and St. John this morning. You have a lot of canes that to be cut, to be reaped, and you know, with COVID, so these things have to be burned.
You wonder if the COVID wasn't responsible for them being burnt when the crop was on in the past.
Yes. Yeah.
Because if you have all these skins and you don't have you're not having as many fires and that sort of thing as you had before.
Yeah.
Then, you know, they might have been that whole COVID issue might have been at the core. Why people were trying, that's how people were trying to escape from it, possibly, you know?
Exactly. But the question that we need to ask as well, not only about the crop, if the crop is going to be started and the sale of government lands, but I think based on what you were saying this morning, that we need to ask questions about who are the recipients of these things. For example, the Clico lands. I have said over and over again, now, when government bailed out Clico, that these lands should have been, if these lands were in the private sector, they'd be sold to liquidate assets, whatever debt you have. And, you know, it is a bad thing that we have been doing. And there must be changes, David. There must be tremendous change. And the public has a right.
Well, when you come back, I hope we can then get both you and Mr. McLean together. But this person says, you know, your party walked out and didn't speak on behalf of the people in Parliament. To know you're on radio airing your mouth about these issues, you should have been in Parliament. That's what this person says, too. Let's come back and we'll talk about these matters as we continue this edition of Down to Brass Tacks.